I'm going to do a call and response. So if you happen to know the song, you can sing with me. If you don't happen to know the song, you can repeat after me. You got that?
Okay.
So first note.
Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to First Unitarian Church of Alton. My transitions we face in life. Here we gather and share our beginnings, our endings, and the journey in between. Here we speak of birth, death, marriage, separation, joy, pain, laughter, and heartbreak. Here we practice being human in all of our facets so that we may live well in the world. We are Unitarian Universalists. I offer my welcome to you, and in particular to those of you who are first-time visitors. We invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards found in the back of your hymnal and place it in the offering plate to give to an usher. And we'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the programs and activities going on here at the church. We are glad you're here, and we hope to see you again on future Sundays. We do have a nursery for infants and young children on this door to the left. At the front of our sanctuary, we have the spirit chair, which includes activities for all ages. You're invited to go to the spirit chair at any time during the service to take an activity back to your seat. We welcome everyone in this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. And now I have a few announcements. This is from Sandy Shaner. She's here.
She's in the nursery.
Okay. The NAD's Women Alliance has purchased a new Christmas tree for the church. And there it is. It is one that is easy to put up and take down as it comes in four sections with branches and lights permanently attached. And if you've ever put up the other one, you know that it's much better now. Its branches still need some reshaping to get rid of that just out of the box look. Hopefully many of you will help with the decorating today during potluck after service. There's an announcement from Isabella. Wave, dear. Okay. Last week we started collecting new or lightly used stuffed animals for the kids that come to Fourth Saturday Lunch. This collection will end around December 23rd. There is a basket that we put out, and there is a little poster. And so if you have any further questions of what we're going to do, please ask me or her after church. And one more from Mary Johnson. Volunteers are needed to do coffee hour cleanup in December, January, and February. Please sign up on the sheet on the desk in the Kate Worker room, which is the room out there. And there's one more.
I have a couple of announcements. One, Debbie, would you stand up so folks know who you are? Please rise. For those of you who don't know, Debbie's our board president. Debbie and Casey Combs-Luker are working on our mission and vision statement, and they will be available after worship today to discuss it and to get feedback. I am told that we will have a sample version of it so that folks can read it, because my suspicion is once you read it, you will really want to go to the feedback session. So I highly encourage you to check it out and to chat with Debbie. Secondly, our Religious Education Council met Thursday? We met on Thursday. Joy, if you'd stand up. Joy is the RE Council Chair. And Ed Navarra handles our youngest ages. Casey Combs-Luker handles our nursery. Elementary is Ed, and Joy is helping with our youth group right now. We've been talking about liability issues and questions related to our RE program and how we're going to operate things. We're going to be talking about whether we want to keep religious education after church or during church in the next couple of months. So if you have feedback about that, talk to Joy or Ed or myself. In the meantime, we are very clear, the nursery has an age limit up to 4 years old. If you have a child over 4 years old, they need to stay in worship with you. And all youth, and actually anybody under the age of 18, need to be in here during worship time, just because we need adult supervision with our children and youth at all times for liability issues. So if you have any questions about that or why we're doing that, please chat with Joy, Ed, Casey, or myself. We have a number of holiday services coming up in the next few weeks. On November 20th, we will have our Christmas pageant. Ron Glopsip has kindly agreed to be our narrator. We're very excited about that. And it should be a fun event. Those of you who were at it last year, we had a great time. So I highly encourage you to join us for that, and then we'll have a bit of a holiday party afterwards. On December 21st at 7 o'clock, we will have our annual winter solstice service. And so if you're a person who celebrates winter solstice, or if you're just interested in that, please join us that evening. We'll be doing it in the worker room. And then December 24th at 9 o'clock, we will have our Christmas Eve Vesper service. And then on December 25th, Pastor Sunshine is going on vacation for 2 weeks. So I will be back and available in the office January 7th. So if you have things that you need to talk to me about before the end of the new year, or the beginning of the new year, please let me know and we will set a time to meet. And with that concludes this morning's announcements. We open our worship with a prelude.
Thank you.
Our call to worship this morning comes from the words of Howard Zinn. To be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. It is based on the fact that human history is a history not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, and kindness. What we choose to emphasize in this complex history will determine our lives. If we see only the worst, it destroys our capacity to do something. If we remember those times and places, and there are so many where people have behaved magnificently, this gives us the energy to act, and at least the possibility of sending the spinning top of a world in a different direction. And if we do act, in however small a way, we don't have to wait for some grand utopian future. The future is an infinite succession of presents, and to live now as we think human beings should live, in defiance of all that is bad around us, is itself a marvelous victory.
As Garrett lights our chalice this morning, I invite you to join me in the words and hand motions for our chalice lighting. We light this chalice, symbol of Unitarian Universalism. May it remind us of the divine spark in all of creation, the power of love to heal what is broken, and to be grateful for life's blessings each day. I invite you to please rise as your spirits and bodies allow and join in singing our hymn of the month and our opening hymn, When Our Heart Is in a Holy Place. hope. That is hope. Isabella. Believing that something may happen. Something good or something bad? Something good, hopefully, right? What is hope? Yes.
To have faith in something you have never seen to go on to the next step.
To have faith in something, and what was the last part?
Never seeing.
Never seeing the next step. So you don't know what's coming next, but there's hope for what comes next, yes. Anything else? Huh?
That was perfect.
That was perfect. I absolutely agree. Yes. So this month, our theme of the month is hope. And hope is a rather broad topic. And I was, you know, going through trying to figure out how are we going to narrow this all down. I think that when I was doing my research, I found it particularly interesting that one of the possible definitions of hope. We're having some dog issues this morning. One of the definitions of hope is to have trust. Now, how many of you remember our definition of faith back in September? What is the definition of faith?
Believing that something will happen, even though you know that it probably won't.
Sort of. A little more optimistic than that. One of the definitions of faith, and the one that we use as Unitarian Universalists, is to have trust in things and trust in people. And so in one sense, hope is a form of faith. A form of faith in things to come, even though we know they may not happen. So that word trust is interesting. And particularly in our society, do we have trust in our politicians right now?
No.
Do we have trust in our educational system?
Kinda,
sometimes. Do we have trust in our churches right now?
Oh, no.
Well, I'm glad you're here anyway. Hope is trust in things to come, knowing that we don't know what's going to happen. So our story today is literally a children's story, and it was written, if we'll go to the next slide, as a memory to those who were killed in 2011's attack. And I like to make sure I mention anytime I talk about it that we lost 3,000 people plus that day, because many of the people who died were not counted because they were undocumented workers. So at least 3,200 that we're sure of, at least. And so on that day, it was hard to imagine hope, right? It was hard to imagine what might come next. And so Andrea Patel wrote this book to help us think about hope and to think about what might come next. The world is blue, the world is green, the world is bright. Can we agree on that? There's blue, there's green, and it's generally bright, at least on one side of the earth or the other. Yeah. The world is very big and really round and pretty peaceful. Okay. But one day, a terrible thing happened. The world, which had been blue and green and bright and very big and really round and pretty peaceful, got badly hurt. And many people were injured, and many other people died, and everyone was sad. Sometimes bad things happen in nature, things like tornadoes or earthquakes or fires. How many of you have experienced a tornado? Earthquake? Fire? But sometimes bad things happen because people act in mean ways and hurt each other on purpose. And that's what happened on that day, when it felt like the world broke. This is scary and hard to understand, even for adults. Is there anything we can do to make the world right again? And isn't that ultimately the question we ask when we're in search of hope? Is there anything we can do to make the world right again? Andrea says, yes, Whether you're 3 years old, or 30 years old, or 103 years old, you can help. You can help by sharing. You can help by playing and laughing. Seems easy enough, right? You can help by taking good care of the earth. You can help by being kind to people, which is easier on some days than others. And when bad things happen, only a small piece of the world breaks, not the whole world. Goodness is in the world, and it's stronger than badness. There will always be good things in the world, and you are one of those good things. You are one of those good things. I don't think there's more Unitarian Universalist a message than you are one of those good things. And that gives me hope. I don't know about you, but I look around the room and I think, okay, we can do this. But when the world breaks, it feels huge, right? We had a shooting in San Bernardino, California this past week. In the last 356 days, we've had 355 mass shootings. Feels huge, right? You know what's equally huge? All of the people who have gone to help in those times. The people who have volunteered, the people who have literally driven hundreds and hundreds of miles to volunteer and to be of help to people they may not even know. That is equally big. And yet, when the world breaks, it's hard to see sometimes. Right? What helps you remember hope when you're feeling devastated? Anyway. What helps you remember hope?
Other people.
Other people.
Cats.
Cats. Dogs.
Music.
Music. What else?
Good things that came before.
Good things that came before. Trust. I heard trust. Yes. Trust is a good one. Good things to come. One of the things that I find interesting with this concept of hope is that frequently when we talk about hope, we talk about birds. We talk about all kinds of birds. You can think of the dove of peace, which is the hope for freedom from war. You can think of the phoenix that rises from the ashes, literally is destroyed in much the same way that we experience that destruction. And yet born out of the ashes is that new hope, that new possibility. We're going to hear a couple of poems throughout the worship service today from Emily Dickinson and Langston Hughes that talk about hope as being a bird. And why do we think about birds when we think about hope? And I think it's because of a few things. One of which is birds sing no matter what, right? They whistle and they sing no matter what's going on in the world, right? They do what they do. They lose loved ones, and they carry on. They sing, and they live, and they carry on. I think the other thing is we imagine a bird flying off, aspirational. What's possible, what we can do. Flying high, soaring high, moving beyond, having trust in the air to hold you, even though there may not be any physical evidence that it will keep you there. That you can see, having faith in it. It's not to say that science doesn't prove that it will, okay? For my humanists in the room, please understand that's not what I'm saying. I'm being metaphorical, not literal. And so we fly, like the bird, into hopefulness of things to come. And one of the things that I note about hope is that it's transcendent. It's a transcendent thing because it is beyond time. It is hope now for things to come. But it is also beyond place, because we place our hope, our trust, in people not physically with us, in an earth that we cannot possibly walk all of, in a universe that keeps us hurtling millions upon millions of miles per hour yet still holding us to this earth. So may you have hope. And as we go forward in the service, I invite you to think about that bird and that question. What do we do when it feels like everything is falling apart?
Each week we take some time to recognize those joys and sorrows and celebrations and wonderments that exist within this community. We do this by taking a stone or stones from the bowl as we enter or at the bowl here in front. And we allow these stones to bring us into awareness of those things most important through our life, through physical representation. And for those who believe, by placing that energy into the stone and releasing it into the calming waters of this community, some of which is water collected from our annual water communion service each September. If you have a joy or a sorrow, a struggle or a celebration that you would like to recognize in this way, you're invited to come forward now in a ritual of joy and sorrow.
We place a stone in the bowl for those joys and sorrows lying in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, and a stone in the bowl for all those who cannot be with us today. I invite you to join me now in the spirit of meditation, prayer, or contemplation, as is your own personal spiritual practice. I invite you to become aware of your body on the pew, to feel the air on your skin. I invite you to become aware of the sounds around you, and to join in the spirit of silence, which is a silence of oneself and not of one's environment. Let the noises you hear become a part of your meditation. I invite you to take a slow, deep breath in and out. And now in so your neighbor can hear you. In and out. We do it so your neighbor can hear you, so you breathe in more deeply. So breathing in and out. In the calmness of this place, we open our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and our bodies in grace and in love for all those here gathered, for our children and our youth, our elders and our adults, our dogs, the pets in our lives, for our families and friends not with us now, for all that allows us to have hope in the world. For those among us who feel isolated, in despair, uncertain of what is to come, may they have what they need. May you have what you need. And may we be with you and support you so that you know you are not alone. Let the trust in one another be our living faith. Let the trust of one another be our living faith. In this day, we are aware of all of those trials and struggles in our world, of the shooting violence that is experienced the world over, of illness and of death. And yet, even in the face of these things, great joy and laughter, friendship and connection, caring and sharing, all that allow us to say yes to living, to remind us that this world is ever connected. May we care for our planet Earth, our only home through this universe, and for our bodies, our only home in this life. I invite you to take a deep breath in and out, and in and out, and one last time in and out. Now we do our singing meditation. We have a musical reflection by Stan Turton called Right Here. If you know the song, I invite you to join in singing in on the chorus, and as you get to know the song, feel free to join in singing on the chorus.
And we're all going to sing. Cause all we need is right here.
Each week, we participate in a spiritual practice of giving to this community a portion of the financial resources that we receive. We do this with hope that these gifts will bring blessings to the world. We do this with the hope that this congregation will bring a message of love to the world. We give financially as we are able, an act of hope, making our faith, our trust, real in word and deed. This morning's offering will be gratefully received. May it be joyfully given.
I invite you to join in the offertory words, which are printed above, to the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community. We dedicate ourselves, and these are offerings.
A poem by Emily Dickinson. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words, and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me.
Hope is a thing with feathers. Hope is a thing with feathers. Now, if you're like me and a little more rational than creative, you have a hard time wrapping your brain around those words. And if you're more creative, you may have a perfect imagination of what that means. But I think of hope as a thing with feathers that sings a tune without words and never stops at all. One of the things that I hold on to is you don't have to know the words to live into the tune. And actually, you don't have to have feathers. But if you have feathers, isn't it nice and warm and cozy? And that's the thing about hope, is it's nice and warm and cozy. How many of you have or had a favorite blanket? As I had a blankie as a kid, you know, it kept me warm and safe. And I had Biggie Bear, my giant bear that was bigger than I was, that I would hold on to. Nice and warm and safe, particularly when I didn't know what was going on, which for children, quite frankly, is a lot of the time. And let's be honest, for adults, quite a lot of the time as well. You know, we don't always know what the heck is going on. This church has been in a transitional phase. We're now at a year and a half. Can you believe that? A year and a half since Reverend Kleber decided to take his congregation in Florida. A year and a half with me. With only 7 months left, let's be honest, height of change is what you're in. What helps you have that sense of warmth? To hold on to that tune, even though you may not fully know the song that we are dancing as we dance our way towards your next ministry. It's easy to think that if we follow deadlines, absolute rules, clear things, if we do this and this and this, we'll be the perfect congregation with the perfect minister. As if there were such a thing, right? Part of living into that hopefulness of being that bird is soaring and knowing that that wind is going to shear you right, left, you never know which way. All over the place. And the truth is, this congregation has weathered those winds over and over and over for 179 years. Mary was telling me that tomorrow will mark the 179th anniversary of the first sermon preached for this congregation, yes? And who was the name of the minister?
Reverend Charles Andrew Farley.
Reverend Charles Andrew Farley, 179 years ago. Now, even back then, this congregation was pretty subversive for the area it was in. Still is, let's be honest. I don't know if any of you have been outside as folks slowly drive by looking at our Black Lives Matter sign, trying to figure out what all that's about. You know, or folks who come in, oh, you're that church. Most of the time, meaning it is a good thing, but also meaning it as a, y'all do things a little bit different than we're accustomed to. There are 48 churches within a kilometer radius of where I stand right now. 48. All of them Christian. Except this one. Most of them preaching a message that human beings are naturally depraved. That we are inherently bad and have to be saved from our badness. Unitarian Universalists don't hold to that idea. We do hold to the idea that we can be bad. Absolutely. Every single person sitting here can do evil things. Every single person has that capacity. And every single person sitting here has the capacity to do good, to create love, to build compassion, to find hope. And honestly, the ministers and the people attending this congregation for 179 years have believed that one message, whether they were Christian or atheist or Buddhist. They believe in the capacity for human beings to do good in the face of terrible, terrible things. 179 years ago, this was a muddy hill.
that you couldn't traverse during the rainy season unless you walked it. There's no way to physically get animals this high up without them really kind of getting stuck in the mud, literally. It was a backwater place, full of toil, dealing with illness, all the things that were normal at that time. 150 years ago, it was dealing with racism, the question of whether slavery should be ended. This church was split on that point. Not everyone thought slavery should be ended, but all of the ministers who preached here did. And some of them even left this congregation because they didn't feel like they could fully preach that message at times. And others stayed here and fought for it. Because at all times, this has been a house of hope. Many of you, when Kleber were here, read a book called A House for Hope, written by Reverend John Behrens and one of my mentors and teachers, Reverend Dr. Rebecca Ann Parker. And in it, they talk about Unitarian Universalism, and in fact, all progressive religion. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about Islam or Christianity or Judaism or paganism or any of those kinds of liberal avenues. And when we're talking about liberal, we mean religiously liberal, usually socially liberal. That does not mean that you have to be politically liberal to believe in this, and many of our folks aren't. That liberal religion says yes to love, yes to inherent worth and dignity, and yes to the global ideal that we can create the community that we want to see in the world. The early Pauline Christians would have said, we're creating heaven here on earth. Creating heaven here on earth. And so every year, for about a month, we celebrate all of these holidays around hope. What holidays around hope can you think of that happen in December? Hanukkah. A candle lasted 8 days when it should have only lasted one. If that's not a hope story, I don't know what is, right? What else? Christmas. We'll come back to that one in a minute. Christmas. An infant child born into a world of oppression who creates hope against tyranny for an entire community. What else? Kwanzaa. Hope in the face of brutal oppression and racism. Hope for the African American community to live past the gazillion things that get in their way.
Hope that the sun will never die.
Hope that
the sun
winter solstice.
No matter who you are or what you are, everybody needs that sun.
Absolutely. Winter solstice is a major part of that, and a celebration of the shortest day of the year and the anticipation of the coming of the longest day of the year again, the sun being the light of our lives. There are so many holidays around hope this season. And in the face of a world that even 179 years ago meant brutal oppression, meant injustice, meant dealing with floods and muds and all the other things, to the same things happening today, we have hope. We have hope in all of our children and our youth sitting here. We have hope in our elders because we know that every single person in this room will die one day, and yet because of our grace, our action, and our compassion, we have a hope for a future to come. So may you live in hope. May you soar like birds, flying into the future. May it be so. Our closing hymn is Gaudeamus Hodie. I have heard some folks like this song, so we're going to sing it today. And Sabrina, what does it mean again?
Let's all rejoice.
Let's rejoice. Can you rejoice with me? Yeah? Please rise as your spirits and bodies allow. Still a little bit of rejoicing. Woohoo!
Yay!
Yeah! Rejoice. So it's with that energy that we sing Gaudeamus Hodie.
Here we go.
I invite you to face across the chandelier towards your neighbors across the way. Give a good smile. These are the words of Langston Hughes. Hold fast to dreams, for if dreams die, life is a broken-winged bird that cannot fly. Hold fast to dreams, for when dreams go, life is a barren field frozen with snow. As our barren fields freeze here in Missouri and Illinois, in the St. Louis metro area, hold fast to dreams. Look at these great winged birds before you. Look at these amazing people in this room. These are the people. These are the hope without feathers. A hope with feathers. May you sing that tune to each other. May you trust in each other and bring each other hope for the world yet to come. Blessed be, and may it be so. Our worship has ended. Let our service begin.